You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine. This week on the Weekly Wrap, we welcome a couple of our coaches who have taken part in Transform 2018, Carolyn Balderston of Being Bold and Melanie Houle of Houle.co. Carolyn is a specialist in time management and productivity, and Melanie is a digital marketing and social media guru. It was interesting having the two of these guys together to unpack that ongoing real estate debate about how you can effectively leverage social tools without disappearing down a rabbit hole of distraction and remaining dollar productive. So this week, we've got some great time management tips, social media marketing tips, and some great advice on how you can combine the two effectively. So welcome, Caroline, and welcome, Melanie.
Hey, Sam. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So it's interesting having both of you guys in here today talking about actually, they're two of my favourite topics. So the first one, productivity and accountability, and so is digital marketing. So you two have been coaching the Transform guys, and I just want to kick off with something that's kind of interesting, I think, there out in the industry these days, is agents are very big on social media, as you know, Melanie, and sometimes struggle with productivity. And the two of them together can almost be at odds with each other. So a lot of people think, is Facebook a waste of time? Do I need to be on social media?
Yep.
And then on the other hand, like I know you would be very much at the school, Carolyn, where it's almost like, yes, that's good, but in certain batches. So let's just unpack that with both of you for a moment. So Starting with you, Melanie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head with the topic, because there's so many aspects to social media when you think of time. And funnily enough, this was a topic that I did recently myself on my own update. So lots of people struggle with time, and social media is very time consuming. What they're doing wrong, typically, is they're trying to do it at the time that they want to post. So the smart thing is, which Caroline, where you come into the fray, is how you can be smarter with your time management and how can you pre-plan what you're going to put out there. So it's just like any other type of marketing material. You don't produce the property ad 10 minutes before it needs to be in the paper. You should do the same thing with social media. You should think about what you want to say, what you could say, and find visuals and commentary and video and work out a plan and use a scheduling tool to schedule that in advance. That might be a month in advance, that might be 3 months in advance. If you do an exercise and time block it, you actually are more efficient because you're focused on that task. And it's something that somebody more junior in your office could do to pull the collateral together. And then you could look at it and finesse it. And then you could give it back to a junior person to upload through a scheduling tool. So don't make a rod for your own back is my recommendation. If you try and post something every day at the time that thing happens, time runs away with itself and you go, oh, damn it, I was at Elite Agent doing a podcast this morning and I really wanted to take a picture and post it while I was there. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a few pictures, take them away with me, and then I'm going to schedule them to go out.
So what are your thoughts, Carolyn? Because you've coached people on productivity and accountability and that sort of thing. Yeah. How do you manage to keep your people on track with timing? Because social media can be such a distraction, and you talked about distractions a lot to the guys this morning. So talk us through your thinking on how to be good with things like social media but avoid the distractions.
I call it the rabbit hole of death, to be honest. that's the way
good to have some opposing views.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Firstly, I feel it's incredibly important that they do have a presence on social media. So I think we've got to get that out there to start with. And I'm all for everything Melanie believes in and all of her ideas. Phenomenal. So yes, as Melanie has already said, it's about how do you allocate your time? People talk about there's not enough time, yet there is enough time. It's how you choose to allocate it. And the time blocking is key, because I don't believe social media is a core real estate activity. Am I okay to say that?
Yep, you are.
Okay, I don't believe it's one of the core activities. I like to kind of, I wish we could do a visual, draw the bullseye, right? And right in the centre of that bullseye is your business development. And business development to me is not profile building. Business development is your voice-to-voice, face-to-face, talk time activities to grow your business. business through your relationships.
Can I challenge you in a minute on that?
You absolutely can.
Yes, great.
I'd love to hear it. So I believe that when I work with my agents, where do you place your social media? And it's not in the center of your bullseye. I believe it lives in the outer rim, because in your center is your business development, talking to people, all of that. The second ring of the bullseye is where all of your tangible activities are in real estate. So this is where you're doing your negotiations, your appraisals, listing presentations, all of that goes around your bullseye. Then in the outer rim, there definitely has to be a segment for your profile through your social media. So the way the two can work together, and what I love is what you're doing in Transform, is, you know, the Facebook Live. If you're at a property at a photo shoot, do a Facebook Live then and there, because you're there. There's time that you're not doing anything. But that, again, is not in your core. So everything I talk about is there is a place for everything. There is a time for everything. You can fit it all in, but you segment your time, you limit your time. So you don't go down the rabbit hole of death. You are focusing on your social media for the time you've allocated, end of story, and then move on.
I love the rabbit hole of death, because my own team use that, because when we're looking for imagery, you can go down the rabbit hole, and I say, right, we've got to time block it. You've got half an hour, because that's all that's in the budget, to find those images, and we just go with the best that we can.
What a successful strategy.
Yes.
That is perfect.
Because otherwise we'd be, especially
five
visuals.
5 hours going down through one rabbit hole off to the next thing, and social leads you completely off where you wanted to be.
I think the trouble is some people see guys like Gavin Rubenstein. Let's just talk about Gavin for a second, because his social media presence is awesome. He has all these amazing photos and all of that sort of thing, but really he has a lot of help.
He's not doing that.
It's curated. Yes. Like that's the trick. Like that could be one shoot on the boat with his abs out where he's looking very buffed. And he's got Instagram down pat, and then he intermixes it with a picture of him doing a video. And then there's a kid, you know, from the home who's snuck into the shot, and just little quirky things like that. But yes, he has a team. He's invested in himself and his brand, and he's got people behind him, videographers, photographers, and he's curating that story, and then he's playing that story out. And it's not necessarily the exact time that it happened. Mm-hmm. He's using like a photo shoot, and then he's drip feeding that.
And he's not doing anything differently. He's doing his core activities. He's doing the bullseye or the second or third tier, and somebody else is capturing that, and then they're driving it, they're posting it. So the question that I think we need to put to everybody is, how do you outsource this?
Yes, and it is a core activity.
Yeah, I love
it. Ahead of the time. So it's all about inbound rather than outbound marketing. So it's a balance. I believe in face-to-face. In my business, I have the same challenge. You know, I don't just suddenly get work because I've put a post out, but because I've consistently put information out, then I get warm leads. So then people come
the trust,
to me.
The consistency things.
Yes.
Key, right?
So I still have the core function of business development. So I still have to, you know, just like you, Caroline, you give a 45-minute session for free for people, and I give time for free too. And I block that on Thursdays and Fridays. So the marketing inbound activities, which are brand building, which are bringing people to your door rather than you having to always go and knock on other people's door. If I could go and knock on everybody's door, I would do that. But you guys all have offices in the interstate, so it's a bit harder for me.
Yeah.
So it's about working out your marketing activities that need to happen this month that will be working for you in 3-4 months' time. It's a longer game. Mm-hmm. And then within that, you've got to work out, because the leads will come if you're consistent, you stick with it, and it's like a fitness program or a diet program.
Yeah.
They will come from putting that content out there. And then those warm leads, then, yes, it goes into the center of what you're doing, which is converting them and finding the ones that not, you know, some people just want information, and it's like you're at the information bureau. And then like, thank you, that was an hour of my time. And other people, you know, are genuinely wanting help, and they're the ones, they're hot leads. They're looking to sell in the next month. They've got a reason they have to sell. They've found you from the activities you might have been doing 4 months, 6 months ago.
So what you're saying is it's not a silver bullet. Like, some people expect that they're going to post a few photos on Instagram and bam, they're a celebrity, but that's not the case.
It took 4 months, you know, starting my brand from scratch. It took 4 months before I hit Google, before Google started indexing my website. and I put a blog a week, which is over 1,000 words, I was doing social media posts. That reached people immediately. So yes, I started getting people into my database. But over time, so I'm coming up for 2 years now, but I've been in the industry for 16, yeah. Digital for 20, but just being my own brand rather than working for a corporate, it's like a snowball effect. But that's because I've stuck with it. And what I see is people kind of fall off the bandwagon. So maybe that's something you could answer, Caroline, because it does take a lot of energy and does take consistency. And it's exciting at first. I see this with a lot of people that I work with. They're excited and they do it, and then it just becomes too hard, yeah. And they slip behind and then they stop. And I think, wow, you were on your way and you just stopped.
Yeah, I want to answer that. I don't disagree at all. And you said, you know, you really feel it's important. I'm totally with you on it. I feel it is a critical part of profile building. I guess when I'm saying it's not the core, the center, it's how you prioritize what has the biggest cut through and where the deeper value is, I think. And if you put it in your outer ring, all those activities in the outer ring, that's like your property marketing, attending photo shoots, due diligence, all of that stuff is in the outer ring. It is all completely necessary to success. However, it doesn't come first. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it should be coming first as a priority, because I believe, as you've already said, Melanie, that if you prioritize that, and it's a bit like the old letterbox drops, and agents always say, oh, yeah, I've done lots of prospecting because I've put 2,000. And I say, hang on, let's define what prospecting is. That's marketing. It's profile building. Prospecting is talking to people, full stop. So if you prioritize social and spoke to less people, it was going to take you 5 times as long as getting the same return as if you prioritize speaking to people and then layer on top of that your profile build, because I believe the two of them together is where the magic lies.
Definitely. One feeds the other.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And to answer the question about how do you maintain it, then the consistency, I've just gone through this myself because I have an aversion to it, but I know it's critical. And when I really focused on it early this year, I'm like, right, so every morning I was on commenting, doing things, every evening I was on commenting, doing things. And I realized pretty quick, I didn't have the stamina for it, but I know the consistency is key. So I've now outsourced certain parts of it. So somebody else does that for me, and then they alert me when there's key things. And it's about educating the people that work with you always. It's like putting on a PA. You've got to educate them about what they can and can't say at an open home. Same with whoever's supporting you with it. So obviously they can come to people like you, Melanie, for this. Or start small if you haven't got the budget yet, because that's where I think most agents should end up, is with somebody who's right across it like you guys. But to get there, maybe take it offshore for the short term for small things. And you can get your VAs. I've got a VA in Singapore, $9 an hour. She does all my data entry. It's amazing. She transformed my life. So start there. Then you will have the budget to get brilliant at it by employing somebody like yourself. That's what I would think.
I didn't have income before I spent. You know, when I talk to people, that's their challenge. I notice that a lot.
Yeah.
And then from my perspective, I think, are you thinking like an employee or are you thinking like a business owner? Because a business owner will invest because they know it will pay back. 100%. So that's where I see, people are.
The first thing I do with any of the agents that I'm working with one-on-one is I put together their business plan. I've got a really simple one-page business plan, and in that is a marketing budget, because I don't work to GCI, I work to personal income. Mm-hmm. Because the GCI is one thing, but then we've got all these business expenses, and you're right, they're not thinking like business owners, and you've got to allocate some marketing spend, whether it is $500 a month for the first 6 months.
Yes.
You do that and you focus on your core. This is me coming back to your productivity and you're prioritizing your core activities. You do that, you'll have the money, guys. It's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's just simple.
Feed the machine.
Yeah, you do.
And then we were talking earlier about automation. So on the flip side, I started with people contacting me, spreadsheets, trying to ring everybody back.
Well,
I was just like, wow, this is so time consuming and really ineffective because I'm doing it. It's interrupting my whole week. So that's where I've automated it. I use an automated marketing tool, and that's part of the digital world. It's like social's the facade. your website's your house, but then you have all this smart home, yeah. So, you know, my website is a smart home, and you'll talk to Miguel when you email me, and Miguel will email you back and tell you that I'm probably in a training session right now, and I just fess up. But it's really helped, because then I can watch people going through, you know, there's three emails. I'll follow up with you or Miguel will over a week.
This is the new next thing. It is about automation, and that is how you can keep up with it.
And you need people that, like, so there's the DIYers, I call them. Mm-hmm. There's people that want to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
But you're on a really steep learning curve. You know, you've got a choice. Time is money, money is time.
Yes.
And where is your budget best laid? And buying 2 hours of someone's time to set something up for you, or spending hours in the evenings and weekends going around in circles getting confused, what is a bot, how do I log into this screen, or how do I connect these things? That's where you've got to decide, is this really, if you can teach yourself, go for it, I say. Don't use other people if you can, but if it's really not optimum use of your time, then just get some help.
If they're doing it at night, I'm kind of okay with that. But that's not the case. It's entering into the productive hours of the day.
Yes.
And that's where the real threat is for most people.
I get up really early to Me do too. Things and then at weekends. But I enjoy it. You know, I want to solve a problem. But yes, thank you for giving me advice today.
Yeah, all right, you two. Now I'm going to ask you some specific questions for a few tips. So first of all, Mel, we had a question about websites versus social media versus outsourcing social media. If I've got a budget of, say, $3,000, where do I put it right now?
You do definitely need your own website, but I refer to social media and the portals as places that you rent. So you can rent space on them. So first off, make sure that all your profiles are up to date and put regular content and information, and really use that rental home till its full advantage. Then when you do have a budget, and when you are at the point that you want lead generation and you want your lead and your pipeline to fill up from, you know, your marketing activities, then it would be near impossible to do those purely using rented sites. You need to have your own website. You can use the DIY websites, which are like templates. I've set them up for people years ago, but I don't recommend them. You want as much control over your website, and you want it all the tools interconnected. So your website is your home. Social media is leading people down the path to your home, and you want to get them in the door into your database or connected to you in at least seven different places.
Then you can talk to them one-on-one without all that noise.
Exactly. And you're bringing them away from the directory. So I always refer to your corporate website as a directory, as, you know, REA and domain agent profiles. What's interesting, there's a company that has been ringing agents. They are Google certified, but they are ringing agents to set up Google advertising, and they will point a Google ad to your page, say on McGrath or Ray White. The trouble is, you are at risk of spending, so say you're spending $200, and then that's sending people back to the corporate website. You could be at risk. There's too many links, there's too many other agents they can look at. So that's why you want your website to be your online brochure. It's just about your brand, nobody else's. There's no links to go and find your colleague two seats away who is competing with you. And then you have full control over the experience, and you want to lead them into a form, into your database, so that you can then have a conversation with them.
Caroline, your top two time management strategies that you talked to the guys about this morning, what are they?
The first one really was about understanding the 5-5 rule for me, because I really value time, and placing value on time means that every second, I believe, is vital, right? You add them all up and you've got your life, you know? So the 5-5 rule is all about when you're prospecting, especially whether it's voice to voice, on the phone or at the door, 5 minutes on the call and you've got to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And before that, it's basically letting it ring for 5 times and hanging up. When a lot of my clients apply the 5-5 rule to any of their prospecting time, they're getting to get to the voice-to-voice much quicker. So that's the second part of it. And the first part of it is that whole thing about valuing the time. And it's about you making the choice about how you're going to protect it, because, and I use the D word, the distraction word that I really don't like. I'm saying a lot today, but it's your choice whether you're distracted or not. So value and protect your time, choose to say no, and then apply the 5-5 rule. They're my two things.
Yeah, absolutely. What about ideal weeks these days? How do you feel about ideal weeks?
I love them.
Yep.
And the best word in that name is ideal. It's not perfect week. And it's really important to have that distinction. And it's ideal. It's like, this is ideally how I'd like my week to go. And I just keep it really simple, Sam. So I see them and they're all color-coded and they've got half an hour for this and half an hour for that. Just really simple. A line across the middle, 2-hour lockdown in the morning where you're in business developing all morning, lockdown. Afternoons, I just black out face-to-face. And if that is face-to-face with appraisals, face-to-face with buyers, valuations, photo shoots, whatever it might be, that's when you're out face-to-face. So applying the morning in, afternoon out. But understand that it's an ideal week and allow that 80-20 rule again, which is 20% flex. Mm. Things will come at you and you might have to break away from your ideal day, but no more than 20% of the time. And once it's threatening more than 20%, say no and move that to another day.
This is an interesting scenario. Say you're off at an appraisal. Mm-hmm. It's taking a long time.
Yeah.
How do you excuse yourself gracefully from that?
Really beautiful question. For me, everything in life is about expectations. Everything. And it's about managing your diary. So this whole thing of the ideal day is, if afternoons is face-to-face, you can then load up 3 or 4 face-to-face appointments an hour apart. You're in the car, you're out there, you're driving around. And the beauty of doing that is, it's again what I said to the guys this morning, you control your diary with the questions you ask and how you set it up. So I recall, and I coach all my clients, that I'd say, if it was you, Sam, and it was an appraisal at, you know, 1:30, and I knew my next one was at 2:30, even if I didn't have it booked at 2:30, I know that that would be my next slot, I would say to you on the phone, great, Sam, so look, I can do 1:30 tomorrow or 2 o'clock on Friday, whatever it is, and you choose 1:30, I say, beautiful, great, let's pop it in here. Now let's talk about what you want to get out of that meeting so I can make sure I've got enough time for you, because I do need to be finished by 2:30. Mm-hmm. And I set it up at the beginning.
Yeah,
it's so easy. And then I go in, and if I know it's just a price update, I'll reduce that to half an hour. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to sit there for an hour. Don't get me wrong, I like people. I like helping people, and I'll have a chat, have a cup of tea with anybody. I don't actually drink tea, but something else. Yeah. But it's not about being disrespectful or not caring, not being nice. It's about you valuing that time and saying, for my new client, Sam, what value do I apportion to that? Mm-hmm. If it's just a price update, not doing anything for 2 years, I'll give you half an hour. I'll let you know I've got to be done by 2. I say, will that suit you, Sam? Yep, beautiful, perfect. I'm home in house. So I go in, we start having the chat. Halfway through, I'll go, oh, beautiful, great. Oh, look at the time. I've got to go in 15 minutes. How about we start talking about X? And I just keep the time being top of mind through it, and you won't be disappointed.
Yeah. You'd look very professional. Like, I think people look more professional, and people would trust, you know, have more confidence in you if you're very organised and proficient and you set the scene, you know, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, you turn up on time, but if you have to go, you have to go.
Yeah, and I respect time, and what that means is I'm respecting my next appointment, and that means I will never be late for you, Sam, and you can rely upon that because I've demonstrated that to you already.
And that's important for a potential vendor to know.
Absolutely.
So one last question for you, Mel. You've just come back from Social Media Marketing World, which is one of those massive conferences over in Central America. What's coming? What's new?
So, the general whispers in the social media or digital community is that, well, people are going to start moving away from public forum. So sharing things socially, we're going to disappear into groups. Ooh. And so the groups are very popular. Facebook has been pushing those a lot more. Also Messenger. So we've got WhatsApp, which is now owned by Facebook. So they bought that because they saw them as a threat. We've got WeChat is also a really great example where the Chinese community, how they use it. WeChat is very much about messaging. So people are going to disappear, and it's going to be about micro communities. Mm. And it's all about people to people. So it's about talking to people as yourself, not being a brand, being a person, and not talking to people like they're vendors. In fact, that's a term that, you know, that we have to get out of the pattern of using, because just, you know, we're humans, or we're you know, we're not homeowners, we're a neighbor that lives in this suburb. So we've got to be more human, more person-to-person communications, and we've got to give more of ourselves away.
See, we are completely aligned. It's all about the person-to-person.
Definitely.
Whether it's digital or whether it's the same.
I think we'll leave it there. Girls, thank you so much for joining us today in Transform in the podcast. It's been a pleasure having you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us.
Yeah, pleasure. Anytime.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.